Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A lot going on with the Sixers, with the Philadelphia Eagles, with an 8-2 football team. But that hot stove, it's starting to get heated up a little bit here. Yeah, the winter meeting's coming up in a few weeks. And maybe by then Juan Soto will sign, and all our eyes are on the Phillies. What are they going to do? How are they going to reshape this thing, Hugh Douglas? So let's bring on a guy that has an idea or two of what might happen this offseason. His name is Buster Olney, ESPN. Was going to join us a couple days ago, and then we got caught up in the Embiid thing. He was kind enough to move his spot to today.
Appreciate you.
Buster, how are you today?
I'm doing great, yeah. I mean, what a time for you guys. There's so much stuff going on, you know, day by day by day, every game you're watching, and what's the development with the Sixers. It's an absolute soap opera, so I totally get it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It is a soap opera. And, Buster, last year, for the most part, the Phillies weren't. They just were really, really good. Some stumbles in the second half, but then a disappointment in the playoffs. And now we're wondering, Buster, what they're going to do, because usually it's like, what big free agent are they going to sign? This year might not be that. It might be reshaping the team through trades. Buster, you've talked about on your podcast a lot, Alec Bohm, his name is out there. Buster, what's the latest? And what do you think the Phillies could get back for an Alec Bohm to start reshaping this thing?
Yeah, and it's early in the postseason, so I don't, you know, I guess, you know, we've seen the Angels do a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of the conversation in the sport is being held up right now by the Soto thing, because a lot of dominoes could fall off of that, you know, and needs will be defined depending on who doesn't get Soto. But look, I mean, Alec Bohm, you know, certainly the perception of him from folks with other teams is he's not going to be a good defensive third baseman. You know, he's below average in the eyes of most of the people that I've spoken with. They do, you know, like the bat. They are, you know, their eyebrows are raised that the Phillies are, you know, is open and to the idea of trading him. So that's one possibility. And I had one general manager with another team who said, you know, he could see the Phillies doing a lightning strike on Alex Bregman at some point. You know, a guy with scar tissue from the postseason. You know, he's a good defender. He's not going to be afraid of playing in a Northeast city. You know, and that would be interesting if that happened. I heard a lot of rumblings about Garrett Crochet and the Phillies again. And you guys know, before the July 30th trade deadline last summer, the Phillies were heavily involved in that. They could have gotten him if they had agreed to give up Andrew Painter in the package of players that they, you know, that they were offering to the White Sox. The perception of other teams is that Crochet is going to get traded, and the Phillies again are right in the middle of it. I don't have names for you as to, you know, what they're haggling over. There are other teams involved: Red Sox, Mets, Atlanta Braves, but. You know, those are some of the things that are mentioned. And, of course, yeah, everyone's wondering because of the relationship between John Middleton and Scott Boras, which is borne out in the Bryce Harper negotiations, Bryce Harper's past relationship with Juan Soto. Could that put them in the mix at some point? You know, Scott Boras just recently finished his meetings with teams, and now they're going to go, I think, through a round of evaluation before they really get into the numbers that the teams are offering.
Buster, let's go to the Crochet thing off of what you just said. You mentioned what happened last July. Phillies were involved. They're probably involved again now. If that's the case, do we think they might reimagine how this team is? Maybe they subtract some offense or not add offense, really go and add and make it a deep starting pitching team? Because they already have Zach Wheeler, and they have Aaron Nola, and they have Christopher Sanchez, all got Cy Young votes that came out last night. Do you think that Dombrowski might be thinking, hey, the best way I can improve the team is an impact starter, even though I'm strong there anyway?
He's demonstrated that in the past, which has been pointed out to me by a couple of executives with other teams. Like, if you look at his teams with Detroit, he built these super rotations with Verlander and Scherzer. You know, that's what he knows. And with Ranger Suarez, a year away from free agency, if you go get a Crochet, you've got Sanchez, you know, it would be an excellent group. And, you know, if you were to look at that, if they add Crochet and Crochet continues to be what he was for the White Sox last year, I mean, that would be the best rotation in baseball. There's no question about it. And I know that, you know, they've continued those conversations. Now, you know, my question is going to be, will a team like the Red Sox, who are a better fit in a possible deal with the White Sox, because the White Sox are looking for position players, young position players, the Red Sox have more of that to offer, are they in a better place? Or you know, will Dave Dombrowski, who's demonstrated over and over and over again in his career, he's willing to pay the extra 10% to get a deal done. You know, will that aggressiveness wind up paying off for him?
Buster only with us here. Phillies offseason, the winter meeting's coming up in a couple weeks. We've heard a lot of Boehm rumors, Crochet rumors. All right, Buster, you mentioned Juan Soto. We want him here. I mean, most of our audience would love to have Juan Soto. Which fan base would not? Buster, how realistic is it, and how would you handicap it right now? I mean, the Yankees had him. They went to the World Series. There's obviously a good relationship there. I just keep thinking the Mets are going to blow everyone out of the water because of their owner. What's your guess on how this Soto thing could play out?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think in the end, the Mets are going to wind up separating themselves from all other teams. I had one person in baseball say to me, you know, that Steve Cohen's perspective will be like, bring me your best offer, and then I'll top it by $50 million, which is why we're going to see a crazy number in the end when he winds up signing, because you don't get an opportunity to get a 26-year-old player who's the historical equivalent of Ted Williams, you know, available. And so if you give him, you know, 13, 14, 15 years, you spread out his, you know, the amount of money you're paying him, you're talking potentially about a deal somewhere in between $600 and $700 million. You guys know Scott Boras' agent. He's all about benchmarks. I think one way or another, the deal structure will be at least 701, because that'll be Shohei Ohtani, beat Shohei Ohtani's number from last winter. And that's the question. I mean, if you're the Phillies, are you going to outbid the richest owner in baseball in Steve Cohen? Are you going to outbid the Yankees, who are interested? I think there is some trepidation, you know, in their group as to how far this is going to go and whether or not they're going to be able to keep up with it. Can you outbid the Toronto Blue Jays, who have so much payroll coming off next year? They basically can give him a blank check, given their other obligations. I think it's going to come down to money. You know, I think Juan has done a great job of sort of hiding what his intentions are right after the World Series is over. You guys remember his quote was, I'm ready to talk to all 30 teams. If you're talking about negotiating, it's a brilliant strategy.
It is.
So do you feel like for Juan Soto that the driving factor is mostly going to be money, or does it matter what team he goes to that has a chance of actually winning another World Series?
And I'm just guessing, right? I mean, only Juan Soto knows. You know, when Aaron Judge became a free agent a couple of years ago, he also did a brilliant job of keeping the Yankees guessing internally. And it wasn't until the night that he agreed to terms with the Yankees that he, you know, reached out to Hal Steinbrenner, the Yankees owner, and said, I want to be a Yankee for life. And that was the first time. The whole time they were wondering, what does he really want? The same question is being asked about Juan Soto, who had a great experience playing alongside Aaron Judge, who's as good of a teammate as I've ever seen in baseball. You know, someone has no problem sharing the main stage in a ballpark that's absolutely suited for Soto as a power hitting, a left-handed power hitter. You know, how much value does he place on that? How much does he place on winning? Based on what I've heard of the questions that Scott Boras has been asking on behalf of Soto in these meetings he's having with teams, you know, sustained success is going to be a big deal. But look, I've covered enough negotiations to know that most of the time, especially with Scott's clients, it's about the money. You know, it's about Alex Rodriguez when he signed that $252 million deal with Texas. It was exactly twice as much as Kevin Garnett had gotten from the Timberwolves. And that's the sort of thing that comes into play. If someone steps up and says, look, we'll structure a deal that gives you $701 million, you can say, I got the biggest deal ever over Ohtani, that could be difference-making.
Buster, last one for you. It wouldn't be a Buster-only interview, and it wouldn't be the sort of an offseason until I hear you say something about the family farm. Buster, if there's one thing about the Phillies this offseason that you feel strong predicting, maybe you'd put the family farm in line. What is it? What's the change that happens, whether a player in or a player out, that you feel most strongly about for the Phillies before we see them in spring training?
They're going to get a star. I have no doubt. And it's interesting, when I've talked with executives of other teams, they, you know, one general manager put it the phrase as World Series tilt. Which teams right now are on a World Series tilt where their feeling is, we got to win the World Series or it's a bust? The number one team on that list are the Phillies, because they were the best team in baseball for so much of 2024. It fizzled out at the end. They're in that vein. The Yankees are in that vein. The San Diego Padres are in that vein. You know, for the Dodgers and other teams, is not as much desperation. So whether it's Crochet you know, whether it's, you know, signing Soto, doing something, Bregman, they're going to do something big. There's no doubt about it. And that's not, you know, not only my feeling, but so many of the people with other teams, they just see the Phillies loading up and trying to push it across the finish line.
Well, that's, we needed this today, Buster. We needed something exciting because the Sixers are driving us crazy. So this will make us feel good as we approach the winter meetings. Buster, we appreciate you hopping on. Have a great offseason. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Have a good one.
All right. I appreciate it, guys.
There
Happy
he goes.
Thanksgiving.
You
Happy
too,
Thanksgiving.
Buster. Buster Only of ESPN.
Right,
next week's Thanksgiving, yeah. A week from today. How about that?
Yeah.
That's the best thing I've heard all day. I mean, Buster Olney, I asked him would he put the family farm on anything, because that's how he does his predictions. He said, Hugh, the Phillies will get a star.
And that's exciting. So that means that your name change is probably still in play.
It is. Juan Gilio is definitely a potential thing that could happen. The Phillies, according to John Heyman, are going to meet with Juan Soto. Jim Bowden of The Athletic put the Phillies as one of the five teams that could realistically sign Juan. Now, he did say he thinks the Mets are ultimately going to get Juan Soto, and I tend to agree with that. But
they got bread.
Hugh, that Alex Bregman idea came up again. He said he wouldn't be surprised to make a quick strike.
That's a name that's been mentioned quite a bit. I think that's probably more realistic for us when you talk about the kind of money that Juan's going to get, though.
I agree with you. I also, like, there's two elements to this, right? Like, I think we all could say, hey, we're ready to move on from Bohm. But someone has to play third base next season. So if they move on from Bohm, okay, well, who's the third baseman? And that's where the Bregman thing comes in. So fun stuff there from Buster Olney in the crochet thing. The Phillies still, you know, involved in that. One of the top pitchers out there. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. And then I think we have some audio of Paul George talking about that locker room meeting the other night. We'll get to Eric in Fox Chase. Hey, Eric.
Eric? Moment too big.
Maybe Eric was in the meeting the other night. Maybe Eric was in the locker room. Eric, put you back on hold. Let's grab David in Westchester. David, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Eric's late for his phone call. You should find him.
You know what we should do? We should rip him to the media behind his back.
Absolutely.
I like that.
We can find out who did it.
And then blame him. And then he'll get all upset next time we bring him on the air. Say, woe is me, that kind of stuff.
Like, how dare you, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go start with the Eagles. Sirianni definitely needs to be signed to a contract extension, and he needs to be signed now because it's going to keep this team together, and it's going to bring them even closer together and make them a better team. And if it doesn't work out, you know what? Fire him in the offseason, because I was all about firing him anyway at the beginning of the year. And, you know, so let's pay him, bring this team together, and let's win a Super Bowl. So,
well, I do like that idea. We're trying to get to New Orleans, Dave. We're getting on that bus down to New Orleans. Yeah. That's the whole plan here.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that bus, Joe, you need a sheriff for that bus, somebody with credentials that can get you guys out of trouble, because you're not going to make it past that South Carolina.
You're probably right on that. Yeah.
People you're taking. So I think you're going to need me on that bus to get you.
Don't we need a marshal, though? Because, in Carolina, aren't you going to be kind of out of jurisdiction?
He knows people.
I'm federal, so.
That's even better. That works.
Yeah, you know what? David may have just got himself a spot on the bus to keep us out of trouble, because we're going to get in trouble.
Dave, you know what's funny? Because the more we talk about this, people are starting to ask me, like, so seriously, how is this going to work? And who's going to be on there to keep people out of trouble? And then I talked about weapons being on the bus yesterday.
Yeah, he had a whole new element to the whole thing.
So, we definitely need some – some security.
We do need security. We need booze. We need the whole thing. All right, David, go ahead.
You need the babysitter.
Yes.
Now, as far as the Sixers, I'm going with blow it up. It kills me to always agree with you, Joe, but you got to blow this up, because Embiid has shown just over the years he's not the one that's going to take it to the promised land. I actually watched a rerun of Maine Cabin Massacres instead of watching the Sixers game the other night, and I never do that. I'm like, oh my God, I just can't watch this team. You know, they're horrible, you know?
Yeah, you did, David. I promise you didn't miss much. I mean, I think it's a good idea to probably just tune them out until they figure the whole thing out. David, we appreciate the phone call. David really did hit something there.
What's that?
Well, that we need some security.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, because there was a lot of factors that I didn't factor in as far as the bus trip is concerned. Because, you know, some people tend to wild out a little bit.
Well,
they don't mesh well. Alcohol and certain characters probably don't mesh.
And this is a party, right? We're celebrating an NFC Championship. We're heading to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, this, it's going to be a festive atmosphere. Can we hear from Paul George? And is this PG's podcast?
Yeah, podcast piece. So he's asked.
Podcast piece.
I'll just play it, and you decide what you think about this.
Okay. Could you guys go back and go, we know everyone that was in that room, or there's some people in there, obviously you might know them, but like, is there more people outside of the team, as in the players, sitting in that locker room?
No, I think we all know his name.
I'll say the people that was in that room is the people that's supposed to be in that room. And it's the people that go out and we're in the trenches with on a nightly basis. That's who was in that room.
So his teammates.
So they're basically.
Do you think they're removing the coaching staff from this, or were the coaches there?
No.
So he said trenches teammates.
I think what he's implying is that somebody leaked it that shouldn't have leaked it.
Well,
like,
of course.
that they thought they could trust. Right. This isn't a reporter that caught wind of a story and leaked it. This is somebody on the team that was supposed to be in the meeting.
Yeah.
That they play with every night.
And it's not on the road. There may be an extended group, travel people. Like, I'm guessing, right? There's other people. The way he framed it is, it's just the people that needed to be in this meeting were at this
meeting.
Somebody
broke the circle of trust.
So basically, you're implying that he's in lockstep with Joel?
Well, he's probably annoyed too it got out, as they all should be.
Yeah.
But Joel should also act like a grown-up about it.
Right.
I mean, I hear you. But still, there's still the accountability factor.
I know football's different. There's over 50 players. Do you think at a team meeting like that, Hugh, that the coaching staff would be part of it? Or is that sometimes it's just players?
If I'm thinking, I don't know. Nobody's really specified whether it was a players-only meeting. They just said a come-to-Jesus meeting.
A team meeting, yeah.
A team meeting. So I'm assuming that maybe some coaches were there. It just all depends. I don't know how it works in basketball. Because they punch each other in the face, and it's not a big deal. So I really don't know how that works. So it sounds to me like Kyle's implying that maybe Paul's mad because the story got leaked out. I will say this. When I heard the story, it is something uncharacteristic of the NBA, in my opinion, because this has been probably going on for a while. You know, I know a caller called in earlier and said, you know, he didn't think that was a storyline, but there's been stories that have been leaked out about Joel Embiid's work ethic and all this other stuff. This isn't the first time I've heard that, so it's been going on a while. So I can see why maybe, you know, being that it's a different world, why most people are upset that the story actually got out.
Yeah, can I just offer one piece of advice for Joel, for Paul? Maybe less Columbo and more basketball. Like, we don't need to play detective here.
Right.
How about show up on time? We don't have less meetings, and then less things leak out. We're treating the symptoms instead of the issue.
But that's, I think, from what the way that Paul framed it, that's kind of how it is, because that's a circle of trust.
Yeah, I know. I it was wrong for whoever leaked it to leak it. I'm with everyone on that. I just feel like that's become the big thing, and it's not really the big thing. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes.
It's like a red herring. Sorry.
It is. It's football season, Philly. So fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, let's go back to the phones. Ron and Monka has a Juan Soto take for us. What's up, Ron?
G.I. Gigolo.
Ron?
What? Listen, I can't believe you're throwing it away flag, dude.
On the Sixers? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm done.
G.I. Joe is throwing in the white flag.
Done. Done.
Well, you know what? I don't blame you, but you guess what? Quickly on the Sixers, I don't want to get wrapped up. I want to move right into the Phillies. Let me tell you something. When they went to the first playoffs with Simmons, and he sat and got 2 points in that one game, and he was invisible, I was trading him. Okay? Well, they didn't. All right? And this thing is going to be the biggest. Next to the Phillies are going to be the biggest franchise sports debacles, okay, from beginning to end. Now, switching over to the Phillies, Joe, Juan Soto is not going to straighten out your team. He's not. Not going to happen. I'm going to tell you something. You need too much on this team to spend $450 to $600 million on a left fielder. Okay, another thing.
They just won 95 games without this guy.
Joe, I'm just giving you my prediction. I want you to tape this. I predict all this stuff way ahead of you guys, and I'm right most of the time.
But if Juan Soto's not a difference maker, there are no difference makers.
I'd also like to point out that Ron was way off about pretty much everything with the Phillies last year.
First of all, listen. I told you in February they weren't going.
No, you said their pitching staff sucked, Ron.
Three guys finished top for Cy Young last night.
It's freaking idiotic.
Yeah, well, Here's how it goes. Trey Turner, here's what's – I'm starting from within, okay? Everybody keeps saying Trey Turner left field. No, no, no. You get him out in center field. Center field.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Let him run all day.
Well, why are you starting with left field? The guy can fly. You start him out in center field, see if he can handle it. That you will take – you will make chicken salad out of that contract. If he refuses, there is going to be an upheaval in Philadelphia, and he will be tortured, and Bryce Harper will also join that thing, because everybody knows he had everything to do with it. Okay? So this thing is not going to happen over Soto. You need six, you got to have six players on that team, and you're going to spend all that money on one player.
Yes.
This is just good, you know, good money after bad, man, and we're going to pay for this for decades. That's what's going to happen.
It's not
here.
My money. It's Milton. Soto's a well, rare free right. agent.
Joe, without your press pass, can you take your kids down to the Phillies game?
Yes, I bought tickets.
Times a year?
Right. Eight, nine? I don't know if we're going 8-9, but I'll take them to 4 or 5.
I used to take me and my kid used to live down there, dude. Live down there. All through the 93 team. I lived down there in the 80s.
I don't give a
shit. I could tell you this, Ron. The tickets are not going to be cheap without Soto. They'll be more expensive with him, maybe. I'm just trying to help the team. This
trying
is a,
to win.
This is a rare free agent. To say he's not a difference maker, I mean, come
it's
on,
ridiculous.
Ron. It is ridiculous. He's like, when you look up difference maker, 26 years old free agent, you think of Juan Soto. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to your phone calls here coming up on the other side. Sixers, I want to tank this thing right now. I can't believe we're saying this. Should the Eagles give Nick Sirianni a contract extension today? No, but Kyle wants to do it.
And I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
Milk is nasty.
215-592-9494. Your phone calls will eliminate another team from the postseason before Week 12 starts in the NFL. And WIP has gone national yet again. We'll let you hear a couple things that happened yesterday. That is coming up next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA is back. And FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. America's number one sportsbook wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel's giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
So you know how this game goes. You grew up listening to WIP.
610 WIP.
You're 2-8. Your name's shown up on hot seat lists in the media. How do you feel going into this stretch, Pittsburgh, Denver, Pittsburgh?
I think probably because I grew up listening to that, I'm smart enough to not worry about outside noise. I get that's part of this gig. That's life in the big city.
I think we all should feel proud today. That was the voice of Kevin Stefanski.
Why is that?
Well, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. They play tonight to start week 12 off, right? Steelers-Browns. There might be some snow in Cleveland tonight, but Stefanski is on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Even though he's won two coach of the years, the Browns might fire him. But he said there, you heard it, he feels like he's built for this. He's built to be on the hot seat because he grew up listening to WIP.
You have to be built for it, man. I mean, I don't understand how all of a sudden it's become. It's almost like people feel, and I've been in these meetings, that you wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to be controversial. I mean, there's a little bit of that, maybe. But still, these storylines come from somewhere.
Like Joel?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the fact that a team meeting did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was called out. But somehow, I don't understand how somehow that's my fault for speaking on that.
Or mine.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Now, you might not like my take on it, and that's fine. You don't have to like my take. But don't try to blame me for what's happening or me responding to what's happening, because that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm responding to a story where his teammates called him out about his work ethic. And being a former professional athlete, being in a locker room with guys that we've had team meetings and there's been personal things said, you know, you would think that you would understand the perspective where I'm coming from. But I guess that doesn't count for anything.
No, it's too much to ask. So that was
it's too much.
Stefanski, one half of national recognition yesterday for WIP. Here's the other half, the New Heights podcast. Jason trying to explain to Travis this whole WIP thing.
Is Nick Sirianni not getting enough love from Philly?
You know what? I was listening to WIP this morning. I think the Eagles fan
is WIP.
WIP is the local, like, big sports talk show station in Philadelphia.
So they're the ones that have been on them.
Well, they control a lot of the narrative, but I will say they usually are. I think WIP is pretty much, for the most part, I don't want to say for the most part, WIP is oftentimes just a reflection of what the fan base truly thinks about the team.
Yeah, that's how you keep the fans involved.
Sometimes they
are
wrong.
That's how you keep them listening.
Sometimes they are wrong.
See, that's what I mean. I told you, Sirianni is done.
They're also, it tends to be the loudest fans, which, you know, hey, listen, I go on WIP. I like listening to WIP for these exact reasons. I like hearing those perspectives.
That needs to be a drop, by the way. What the bleep is
WIP?
I wonder what they listen to in Kansas City.
Well, they have a station.
No, they have sports. I know they have sports radio, but they have a pretty rabid fan base. I'm just kind of wondering.
I just think we're different.
Yeah, and they've been winning.
But yeah, right.
And they've been winning a lot, so it's not a whole lot to complain about. Yeah.
Travis knows what WIP is.
He does. I mean, he was on WIP. He was at the Kelsey thing 2 years ago at the Ocean.
So you're saying he was just playing for the...
Yeah, I think they're having fun on their podcast. Yeah. He was trying to explain.
We'll take
it.
That, though. I mean...
The f*** is WIP?
It's a great drop. I mean,
it's awful.
Stefanski with the praise. Like, I was built for this. I listened to 610 WIP growing up. Now you can fire me in the media all you want.
See, we mold these great individuals.
That's right.
Man, I tell you, I mean, that was my mantra when I was in Atlanta. When I first got there, they was like, who is this guy? We want him out of town. I'm like, dog, I cut my teeth in radio in Philadelphia. Ain't nothing you can say to me.
I mean, Joe ran Andy Reid out of town.
There ain't nothing you can say to me that's going to get under my skin.
My first show here was the year after Reid got fired, but I'll take the blame. I ran him out of town. 215-592-9494. All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Couple polls up today, one on Sirianni and one on the Sixers. So open today saying I would tank this thing. Just blow it up.
Yeah, bam.
I would sit Embiid the rest of the year, sit George, get them healthy so you can decide what to do in the offseason.
You're going
to
sit $190 million.
Oh, yeah. Get yourself healthy.
No, I'm going to get some out of that.
Yeah, we'll trade you in the offseason. Should the Sixers shut Embiid down for the season and tank? Yes, at 67%. The appetite for a tank is back. We've come full circle. And then should the Eagles give Nick Sirianni a contract extension right now? No, it's 73%. You know what my favorite part of this poll question is?
What's that?
These two poll questions. More people right now are saying no to a Sirianni extension 8-2 than yes to the tank. Like, or actually, it's almost the same. Like, it's pretty wild. Like, there's a lot of people out there that are really willing to tank this season. Like, they're just done with this team at 2-12, losing to the Grizzlies last night. All right, we'll get to kiss the baby here, and we got to hear from an old friend coming up as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, get as many as we can in here. Alex in Philly's up. Hey, Alex. Alex, going once.
You got to be kidding.
Alex, we're tanking.
I literally just spoke to him.
We're tanking Alex here.
Moment's too big.
Mark in Woodbury Heights is ready to talk some Sixers. Hey, Mark.
Guys, how you doing?
Good, what's up, Mark. Man? What's up?
You know, WIP.
The is WIP.
WIP has people that call in that know sports and are passionate about it.
Sometimes.
And they're educated about it. And when they see a guy like Joel Embiid, who I called about, and I talked to you, Joe, back when you were on the night crew.
Yep.
Back in 2019, after he, in game four, against the Raptors, he didn't show up because he had an upper respiratory infection, and how he got behind the mic and just kept talking about, you know, I had to get an IV. This guy has to be one of, I've been watching sports since the mid-70s, one of the biggest jokes for a talented athlete I have ever seen in this town. Ever. I mean, seriously, Joe, how many times have you and I talked about this guy coming up short in the playoffs year in, year out, making excuses? I don't, you know, I wish Jimmy was here, throwing his coaches under the bus, throwing Ben Simmons under the bus. He's just playing worse than Simmons. He's worse because he's more talented. And, you know, here's a guy, no one talks about his lack of defense. He's terrible defensively. Yeah, he's tall. He can block the shots around the rim. He's terrible on pick and rolls. You ever see him come up and hedge? He doesn't hedge. He's terrible. Whatever they need to do, do it. And Daryl Morey, has anybody mentioned his name today, Joe?
Not enough, Mark, because he's silent. As the whole thing falls apart, you can't find Morey anywhere.
Where is Daryl Morey, that idiot, for giving this guy an extension, for giving Paul George, how old is Paul George?
35.
35 years old, you gave him all this money. These guys are making millions of dollars to make these decisions. The Sixers, going back to when the process started, have made one bad decision after another. What's it now, 10 years? I mean, these guys are walking out of those offices, millionaires.
He cooked
and they
now.
Can't make decisions with a roster. This is utterly ridiculous. It's the worst I've seen. Hugh Douglas.
Yes, sir.
Hugh Douglas. Is he there?
Oh, he's here.
I'm letting you cook, dog.
He was late today, but he's here. Yeah.
Hugh, I want your opinion as a former athlete. I want it right now on the table. What's your take on Joel Embiid?
It's unacceptable. Everything that he's done up until this point has been unacceptable. Accountability. That's the word of the day.
Get him out of here, Mark. We love your phone call.
The is WIP.
That was a lot.
That was perfect.
That was epic.
That was a lot.
I feel.
And Mark and I have been talking Sixers for years, and it's just, it's like, you ever see something before everyone else sees it, and you try to tell everyone, and then everyone's like, no, you're seeing it wrong, and now everyone's seeing the same thing?
You sound like Howard, no.
Well, no.
You sound like I told you so. That sounds like an I told you so.
Well, I tried to say for 5 years.
He's a fraud.
They can't win a title with this guy, and everyone's like, well, yeah, blah, 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 he's better than Jokic. Stop.
That music's pretty versatile, apparently.
It is, the good or the bad. That was a great
phone
call.
Just if you have an epic rant. You gotta get the music.
Yeah, it just goes well.
It like adds 15 extra percent to it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it does.
And Mark rose to the occasion.
He did. I don't know how much he had prepared there, but I think he added 30 more percent to fit with the music. I mean, it was great. It's one of my favorite
Pretty
Mark
awesome.
Calls ever. All right, let's grab Big V, and then we got to get to our Kiss the Baby. So we usually do it on Tuesday, right? We eliminate.
Yeah, we missed Tuesday. Well, there's a lot going on.
Joel, yeah. So we pushed it back. We have to get to, though, before we get to Week 12, which starts tonight. We might get a snow game tonight, Hugh Douglas.
That's crazy.
Steelers and the Browns.
I still got on shorts.
It's not going to snow here.
Well, it's cold. It was cold this morning.
It was cold.
We got rain, and now we're about to get snow.
Are you ready for snow here?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right with it.
You're ready, but you got a shovel now.
No, I don't. I refuse. Man, listen, I'm not that domesticated. I'm domesticated. I ain't that domesticated. I ain't shoveling.
What if the snow is covering
you? I ain't shoveling nothing.
All right, you're not shoveling? Okay.
No.
All right, Big V. We'll see if he shovels. What's up, Big V?
5 down or 10 down. Same thing, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Big V,
come on.
I think he's doing business.
The same rate, we haven't run your credit on the
Big V.
He's doing. I'm telling you, that's a business call. He's running his credit.
Big V, trying to make some things happen.
Mm-hmm. I got two people in a row I just talked to.
You know who I can count on? I can count on Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy Tank Day, man.
What's up, Chris?
Happy Tank Day.
First of all, let's get right to facts here. Mm-hmm. Mark is the caller of the week. He may be caller of the month. That was absolutely beautiful. Beautiful work.
It was awesome. And I'm telling you, Chris, there was like an extra, and you know this, when Kyle puts the music on, like some people rise to the occasion. You rise, but some people, you know, they get drowned out by it. Mark was ready.
No,
moment was not too big for him.
Once that music hit, his cape rolled out from his backside, and then, dude, he was just flying. Dude, he was cooking. So, beautiful stuff. Hugh.
Yes.
Yeah, careful. Hugh, excuse me. I want to let you know I got the bus security taken care of. I got a few Delaware State Trooper friends. They're also Eagles fans, and as well as, most importantly, they're middays men.
Oh, well, that's so important. Right. Yeah, then they got a spot. Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah. We have enough security that things won't get out of hand, but not too much security that we feel
we need that. Yeah.
Yeah, we need that. It's
a fine
line.
Don't worry about it. Okay. We got this. So shout out to Trooper Seitz and Trooper DeMalto. They're ready to roll. So we're good with that. Guys, it was great seeing you yesterday. Well, except you, Hugh.
What'd I do?
Call him out, Chris.
Watching you sell your soul away to Cow Loser Jim was extremely disappointing. Like, the entire place let out the collective, when they saw you do that.
Before you respond, Hugh, I don't know if we had time yesterday in the midst of that busy show to tell the whole audience. So yesterday, for the second straight...
Some nice bottle of bourbon.
For the second straight November, we do this live show at Chickie's, great cause. Cowboy Jim showed up yesterday in a Troy Aikman jersey.
Yes, he did.
And he brought Hugh, courtesy...
Aikman,
yeah, courtesy... Of a nice young lady came up and handed you
finest frog.
Okay, here. Brought you a bottle of liquor. Okay, and you know what? Everyone knows what that means, right? That means Hugh won't push back or criticize Cowboy Jim for 6 months now. I mean, like it's ridiculous. He bought you off.
First of all, can I give everybody the visual?
Go ahead.
No.
And this is not. This is. Oh, I'm just saying. I think it warrants the situation.
No. No.
She had on some shiny black leather pants.
Not this guy.
She had that pretty brown mocha skin, and her hair was long and flowing, and she smelled like jasmine and honeysuckle.
Joe, let me explain something to you. Let me explain to the fan base.
Joe. Well, is you Douglas okay?
Like jasmine and honeysuckle.
He threw the honeysuckle in there.
Hey, man. And she said, hey. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was told to give you this nice bottle of bourbon. And I said, thank you very, very much, miss. And that's all. I mean, I'm not man, listen. I ain't turning down no bottle of liquor from no fine brown skin sister.
You know, I'm a cowboy fan.
I ain't doing that.
I've heard enough of the nonsense. Let me tell the fan base.
Impossible.
Let me tell the fan base how this happened.
It's impossible.
Okay? Here's what happened yesterday, folks. He sees the eye candy come up with a bottle of bourbon and big, strong, defensive end, former Hall of Famer Hugh Douglas.
Single.
Turns into
don't forget that
Douglas.
Don't forget that
Douglas showed up yesterday.
Hold up, hey, hold up, Chris. I would have done what any single man in my situation would have done, especially when you have an attractive young lady walk up to you with a bottle of bourbon.
Turncoat Douglas.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
fraternizing with the enemy.
I feel no remorse. I'm sorry. Jim did. Jim, it's not like Jim gave it. It came from him.
But it came
from
Jim.
But he didn't give it to me.
The worst part of Crispy, I'm so glad you brought the story up. Thank you for calling. The worst part is we all know what's going to happen. Like the Cowboys will do something stupid, or they'll retain McCarthy, or they'll hire Dion, and Cowboy Jim will call in happy, and you'll be like, yeah, you know, you're right, Cowboy Jim. You won't rip him because he bought you off.
I did not know.
I like Turncoat Douglas. We'll add that to the list.
Not,
have we
not
gotten Joe Lunardi on the horn yet? We need bracketology.
So
I'm just saying, man. She was a nice lady.
I actually met Joe Lenardi not too long ago.
Okay.
And I told him that this might be something that we reach out to him for.
We could use his help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I listen, I know he's local. Perhaps he's a listener. Maybe he knows some of the hues. Joe Lenardi coming on this show and seeding the different hues would be incredible.
Well, so I obviously he'll need my help. I'm going to have to give him little... I'm going to have to go through...
Give him the background.
It's going to be a project because there's going to be 64 hues. Well, I am going to have to...
We're
going
to cut it down to 64. There
right,
might be more.
Right. There's plenty. I'm going to have to write a little blurb of each so that he's fully prepared. So like this is going to... I'm going to have to give him like a packet.
Man, listen. I understand y'all disappointed in me.
No. We're very happy, under
the circumstances, I
second straight year of this nonsense.
I'm okay
with
it.
2 years in a row.
Does she do anything for us?
I ain't never seen them kind of pants either. Like they was like ooh. You remember? Settle. You ever seen the Michael Jackson video with him and his sister Janet? The scream. She had on them pants.
That's the pants the lady was wearing yesterday.
Yeah, she had on them pants, and you could tell she worked out a little bit too. Well, she's a workout person. Shout out to all the ladies that work out. It's appreciated.
Just glad it was
very appreciated.
Glad it was her wearing them, not Cowboy Jim. All right.
Somebody needs to bonk you on the head, buddy.
No, I'm just saying.
Come on now.
He didn't give me the bottle.
But it was from
him.
Oh,
well, how about this? Since we throwing people under the bus.
Go ahead.
He gave Ike some candy. He gave him a whole bag of candy.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm telling.
He did. He brought sweets.
Did he buy Ike? Nino Brown.
He did.
Oh, this is.
I think he brought Mike and Ike.
This is a nasty development.
In Ike's defense.
So you know how this game goes. You grew up listening to WIP.
610 WIP.
You're 2-8. Your name's showing up on hot seat lists. Mm-hmm. In the media. How do you feel going into this stretch, Pittsburgh, Denver, Pittsburgh?
I think probably because I grew up listening to that, I'm smart enough to not worry about outside noise. I get that's part of this gig. That's life in the big city.
I think we all should feel proud today. That was the voice of Kevin Stefanski.
Why is that?
Well, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. They play tonight to start week 12 off, right? Steelers-Browns. There might be some snow in Cleveland tonight. But Stefanski is on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Even though he's won 2 coach of the years, the Browns might fire him. But he said there, you heard it, he feels like he's built for this. He's built to be on the hot seat because he grew up listening to WIP.
You have to be built for it, man. I mean, I don't understand how all of a sudden it's become. It's almost like people feel... And I've been in these meetings that you wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to be controversial. I mean, there's a little bit of that maybe. But still, these storylines come from somewhere.
Like Joel?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the fact that a team meeting did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was called out. But somehow, I don't understand how somehow that's my fault for speaking on that.
Or mine.
Yeah. I don't understand that. Now, you might not like my take on it, and that's fine. You don't have to like my take. But don't try to blame me for what's happening or me responding to what's happening, because that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm responding to a story where his teammates called him out about his work ethic. And being a former professional athlete, being in a locker room with guys that we've had team meetings and there's been personal things said, you know, you would think that you would understand the perspective where I'm coming from. But I guess that doesn't count for anything.
No, it's too much to ask. So that was Stefanski, one half of national recognition yesterday for WIP. Here's the other half, the New Heights podcast. Jason trying to explain to Travis this whole WIP thing.
Is Nick Sirianni not getting enough love from Philly?
You know what? I was listening to WIP this morning. I think the Eagles fan
is WIP.
WIP is the local, like, big sports talk show station in Philadelphia.
So they're the ones that have been on them.
Well, they control a lot of the narrative. But I will say, they usually are. I think WIP is pretty much, for the most part, I don't want to say for the most part, WIP is oftentimes just a reflection of what the fan base truly thinks about the team.
Yeah, that's how you keep the fans involved.
Sometimes they
are
wrong.
That's how you keep them listening.
Sometimes they are wrong.
See, that's what I mean. I told you, Sirianni is done.
They're also, it tends to be the loudest fans, which, you know, hey, listen, I go on WIP. I like listening to WIP for these exact reasons. I like hearing those perspectives.
And that needs to be a drop, by the way. What the bleep is
WIP?
I wonder what they listen to in Kansas City.
Well, they have a station.
No, they have sports. I know they have sports radio, but they have a pretty rabid fan base. I'm just kind of wondering.
I just think we're different.
Yeah, and they've been winning.
But yeah, right.
And they've been winning a lot, so it's not a whole lot to complain about. Yeah.
Travis knows what WIP is.
He does. I mean, he was on WIP. He was at the Kelsey thing 2 years ago at the Ocean.
So you're saying he was just playing for the
Yeah, I think they were having fun on their podcast. Yeah. He was trying to explain.
We'll take that, though. I mean,
the f*** is WIP?
It's a great drop. I mean,
it's
Stefanski with the praise. Like, I was built for this. I listened to 610 WIP growing up. Now you can fire me in the media all you want.
See, we mold these great individuals.
That's right.
Man, I tell you, I mean, that was my mantra when I was in Atlanta. When I first got there, they was like, who is this guy? We want him out of town. I'm like, dog, I cut my teeth in radio in Philadelphia. Ain't nothing you can say to me.
I mean, Joe ran Andy Reid out of town.
ain't nothing you can say to me that's going to get under my skin.
My first show here was the year after Reid got fired, but I'll take the blame. I ran him out of town. 215-592-9494. All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Couple polls up today, one on Sirianni and one on the Sixers. So open today saying I would tank this thing. Just blow it up.
Yeah. Bam.
I would sit Embiid the rest of the year, sit George, get them healthy so you can decide what to do in the offseason.
You're going
to
sit $190 million, boy.
Oh, yeah, get yourself healthy.
No, I'm going to get some out of that.
Yeah, we'll trade you in the offseason. Should the Sixers shut Embiid down for the season and tank? Yes, at 67%. The appetite for a tank is back. We've come full circle. And then should the Eagles give Nick Sirianni a contract extension right now? No, it's 73%. You know what my favorite part of this poll question is?
What's that?
These two poll questions. More people right now are saying no to a Sirianni extension 8-2 than yes to the tank. Like, or actually, it's almost the same. Like, it's pretty wild. Like, there's a lot of people out there that are really willing to tank this season. Like, they're just done with this team at 2-12, losing to the Grizzlies last night. All right, we'll get to kiss the baby here, and we got to hear from an old friend coming up as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, get as many as we can in here. Alex in Philly's up. Hey, Alex. Alex, going once.
You got to be kidding.
Alex, we're tanking.
I literally just spoke to him.
We are tanking Alex here.
Moment's too big.
Mark in Woodbury Heights is ready to talk some Sixers. Hey, Mark.
Guys, how you doing?
Good, what's up, Mark. Man? What's up?
No, WIP.
The f*** is WIP?
WIP has people that call in that know sports and are passionate about it.
Sometimes.
And they're educated about it. And when they see a guy like Joel Embiid, who I called about, and I talked to you, Joe, back when you were on the night crew.
Yep.
Back in 2019, after he, in game four, against the Raptors, he didn't show up because he had an upper respiratory infection, and how he got behind the mic and just kept talking about, you know, I had to get an IV. This guy has to be one of, I've been watching sports since the mid-70s, one of the biggest jokes for a talented athlete I have ever seen in this town. Ever. I mean, seriously, Joe, how many times have you and I talked about this guy coming up short in the playoffs year in, year out, making excuses? I don't, you know, I wish Jimmy was here, throwing his coaches under the bus, throwing Ben Simmons under the bus. He's just playing worse than Simmons. He's worse because he's more talented. And, you know, here's a guy, no one talks about his lack of defense. He's terrible defensively. Yeah, he's tall. He can block the shots around the rim. He's terrible on pick and rolls. You ever see him come up and hedge? He doesn't hedge. He's terrible. Whatever they need to do, do it. And Daryl Morey, has anybody mentioned his name today, Joe?
Not enough, Mark, because he's silent. As the whole thing falls apart, you can't find Morey anywhere.
Where is Daryl Morey, that idiot, for giving this guy an extension, for giving Paul George, how old is Paul George?
35.
35 years old, you gave him all this money. These guys are making millions of dollars to make these decisions. The Sixers, going back to when the process started, have made one bad decision after another. What's it now, 10 years? I mean, and these guys are walking out of those offices, millionaires.
He cooked
now. And they can't make decisions with a roster. This is utterly ridiculous. It's the worst I've seen. Hugh Douglas.
Yes, sir.
Hugh Douglas. Is he there?
Oh, he's here.
I'm letting you cook, dog.
He was late today, but he's here. Yeah.
Hugh, I want your opinion as a former athlete. I want it right now on the table. What's your take on Joel Embiid?
It's unacceptable. Everything that he's done up until this point has been unacceptable. Accountability. That's the word of the day.
Get him out of here, Mark. We love your phone call.
The is WIP.
That was a lot.
That was perfect.
It was epic.
That was a lot.
I feel.
And Mark and I have been talking Sixers for years, and it's like you ever see something before everyone else sees it, and you try to tell everyone, and then everyone's like, "No, you're seeing it wrong," and now everyone's seeing the same thing.
You sound like Howard. No.
Well, no.
You sound like I told you so. That sounds like an I told you so.
Well, I tried to say for 5 years.
He's a fraud.
They can't win a title with this guy. And everyone's like, well, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He's better than Jokic. Stop.
That music's pretty versatile, apparently.
It is. The good or the bad. That was a great
phone
call.
If you have an epic rant, you got to get the music.
Yeah, it just goes well.
It like adds 15 extra percent to it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it does.
And Mark rose to the occasion.
He did. I don't know how much he had prepared there, but I think he added 30 more percent to fit with the music. I mean, it was great. It's one of my favorite
Pretty
Mark
awesome.
Calls ever. All right, let's grab Big V, and then we got to get to our Kiss the Baby. So we usually do it on Tuesday, right? We eliminate.
Yeah, we missed Tuesday. Well, there's a lot going on.
Joel, yeah. So we pushed it back. We have to get to, though, before we get to Week 12, which starts tonight. We might get a snow game tonight, Hugh Douglas.
That's crazy.
Steelers and the Browns.
I still got on shorts.
It's not going to snow here.
Well, it's cold. It was cold this morning.
It was cold.
We got rain, and now we're about to get snow.
Are you ready for snow here?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right with it.
You're right, but you got a shovel now.
No, I don't. I refuse. Man, listen, I'm not that domesticated. I'm domesticated. I ain't that domesticated. I ain't shoveling.
What if the snow is covering?
I ain't shoveling nothing.
All right, you're not shoveling. Okay.
No.
All right, Big V. We'll see if he shovels. What's up, Big V?
5 down or 10 down? Same thing. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
Big V.
Come on.
I think he's doing business.
The same rate we haven't run your credit on the
Big V. He's doing. I'm telling you, that's a business call. He's running his credit.
Big B, trying to make some things happen.
Mm-hmm. I got two people in a row I just talked to.
You know who I can count on? I can count on Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy Tank Day, man.
What's up, Chris?
Happy Tank Day.
First of all, let's get right to facts here. Mm-hmm. Mark is the caller of the week. He may be caller of the month. That was absolutely beautiful. Beautiful work.
It was awesome. And I'm telling you, Chris, there was like an extra, and you know this, when Kyle puts the music on, like some people rise to the occasion, you rise, but some people, you know, they get drowned out by it. Mark was ready.
No, the
moment was not too big for him.
Once that music hit, his cape rolled out from his backside, and then, dude, he was just flying. Dude, he was cooking. So, beautiful stuff.
Excuse me.
I want to let you know I got the bus security taken care of. I got a few Delaware State Trooper friends. They're also Eagles fans, and as well as, most importantly, they're middays men.
Oh, well, that's so important. Right. Yeah, then they got a spot. Yeah, we have to.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah. We have enough security that things won't get out of hand, but not too much security that we feel
we
like
need that. Yeah.
Yeah, we need that. It's
a fine
line.
Don't worry about it. Okay. We got this. So shout out to Trooper Seitz and Trooper DeMalto. They're ready to roll. So we're good with that. Guys, it was great seeing you yesterday. Well, except you, Hugh.
What'd I do?
Call him out, Chris.
Watching you sell your soul away to Cow Loser Jim was extremely disappointing. Like, the entire place let out the collective, when they saw you do that.
Before you respond, Hugh, I don't know if we had time yesterday in the midst of that busy show to tell the whole audience. So yesterday, for the second straight...
Some nice bottle of bourbon.
For the second straight November, we do this live show at Chickie's, great cause. Cowboy Jim showed up yesterday in a Troy Aikman jersey.
Yes, he did.
And he brought Hugh, courtesy...
Aikman, Hugh.
Yeah, courtesy... Of a nice young lady came up and handed you
finest frog.
Okay, here. Brought you a bottle of liquor. Okay, and you know what? Everyone knows what that means, right? That means Hugh won't push back or criticize Cowboy Jim for 6 months now. I mean, like it's ridiculous. He bought you off.
First of all, can I give everybody the visual?
Go ahead.
No.
And this is not. This is. Oh, I'm just saying. I think it warrants the situation.
No. No.
She had on some shiny black leather pants.
Not this guy.
She had that pretty brown mocha skin, and her hair was long and flowing, and she smelled like jasmine and honeysuckle.
Joe, let me explain something to you. Let me explain to the fan base.
She smelled like...
Joe. Well, is you Douglas okay? Yeah, I
like
guess.
Jasmine and honeysuckle.
He threw the honeysuckle in there.
Hey, man. And she said, hey. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was told to give you this nice bottle of bourbon. And I said, thank you very, very much, miss. And that's all. I mean, I'm not man, listen. I ain't turning down no bottle of liquor from no fine brown skin.
No, you know what? Like, I'm a cowboy fan.
I ain't doing
I've
that.
I've
heard enough of the nonsense. Let me tell the fan base.
Impossible.
Let me tell the fan base how this happened.
It's impossible.
Okay? Here's what happened yesterday, folks. He sees the eye candy come up with a bottle of bourbon and big, strong, defensive end, former Hall of Famer Hugh Douglas.
Single.
Turns into
don't forget that.
Douglas.
Don't forget that.
Douglas showed up yesterday.
Hold up. Hey. Hold up, Chris. I would have done what any single man in my situation would have done, especially when you have an attractive young lady walk up to you with a bottle of bourbon.
Turn coat Douglas.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Fraternizing with the enemy.
I feel no remorse. I'm sorry. Jim did. Jim, it's not like Jim gave it. It came from him.
But it came
but
from Jim.
He didn't give it to me.
The worst part of Chris, I'm so glad you brought the story up. Thank you for calling. The worst part is we all know what's going to happen. Like the Cowboys will do something stupid, or they'll retain McCarthy, or they'll hire Dion, and Cowboy Jim will call in happy, and you'll be like, yeah, you know, you're right, Cowboy Jim. You won't rip him because he bought you off.
I did not know.
I like Turncoat Douglas. We'll add that to the list.
Have
we
not
gotten Joe Lunardi on the horn yet? We need bracketology.
So
I'm just saying, man. She was a nice lady.
I actually met Joe Lunardi not too long ago.
Okay.
And I told him that this might be something that we reach out to him for.
We could use his help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know he's local. Perhaps he's a listener. Maybe he knows some of the Hughes. Joe Lunardi coming on this show and seeding the different Hughes would be incredible.
Well, obviously, he'll need my help. I'm going to have to give him I'm going to have to go through.
Give him the background.
It's going to be a project because there's going to be 64 Hughes.
Well,
I am going to have to.
We're
going to
cut it down to 64. There
right,
might be more.
Right. There's plenty. I'm going to have to write a little blurb of each so that he's fully prepared. So, like, this is going to, I'm going to have to give him, like, a packet.
Man, listen. I understand y'all disappointed in me.
No. We're very happy.
But, I mean, under the circumstances, I.
Second straight year of this nonsense.
I'm okay
with
it.
2 years in a row.
Does she do anything for us?
I ain't never seen them kind of pants either. Like, they was like, ooh. You remember, you ever seen the Michael Jackson video with him and his sister, Janet, the Scream? She had on them pants.
That's the pants the ladies were in yesterday?
Yeah, she had on them pants. And you could tell she worked out a little bit, too. Wow. She's a workout person. Shout out to all the ladies that work out. It's appreciated.
Just glad it was
very appreciated.
Glad it was her wearing them, not Cowboy Jim. All right.
Somebody needs to bonk you on the head, buddy.
No, I'm just saying.
Come on now.
He didn't give me the bottle.
But it was from
him. Oh, well, how about this? Since we throwing people under the bus.
Go ahead.
He gave Ike some candy. He gave him a whole bag of candy.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm telling.
He did. He brought sweets.
Did he buy Ike? Nino Brown.
He did.
Oh, this is.
I think he brought Mike and Ike.
This is a nasty development.
Well, in Ike's defense.